If you would take your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 with me. Luke chapter 2. We live in a world where everyone wants something, same thing. Everyone wants good news. Everyone wants to hear that it's going to turn out okay. And when you turn on the news, watching the news doesn't help with that fear. Every day we hear about crime, a kidnapping, or a murder. We hear about unrest in the Capitol. We hear about riots and uprisings, about forest fires wiping out much of nature and people's homes. We fear danger and war in certain parts of the world. We experience physical fear for ourselves and those that we love. And then Christmas comes and we sing about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And it feels like most people have bad will. But if we look in a mirror, we realize that apart from Jesus, our will is bad. Our hearts are sinful, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. There was a famous writer from 200 years ago who felt perhaps what we feel at times when we turn on the news. As he watched his son, Charles Appleton Longfellow, walk out of the family home and join the Union Army in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Charles was the oldest of six children, born to his mother Fanny and his father Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Charles had new struggle. He had known loss. He had known pain as he watched his mother and as Henry watched his wife tragically die. One evening at a party, her dress caught on fire and she burned to death. If you see pictures of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he always had a long, white, bushy beard, and that was to hide the scars from attempting to smother the fire on his wife. As he watched his son go to battle, he was fully aware of the dangers. His son narrowly missed having to fight in the Battle of Gettysburg. But in a battle of Chancellorsville, Virginia, while dining at home, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow received the news that his son, Charles, had been shot through the shoulder, the bullet had passed through his back, and that he was likely paralyzed. He went to visit his son in the hospital to find good news that his son would both survive and that the bullet missed his spine by an inch and would not be paralyzed for life. But as Henry Wadsworth Longfellow sat and reflected upon his life, watching his son recover, thinking through the loss of his wife and the prior loss of a child in infancy, he wrote these words. As the story goes, he heard bells playing in nearby churches. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. bobtail ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, a cannon thundered in the south. And with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of the continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And in despair I bowed my head. There's no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There may be times in our life where we feel like he did. There's no peace. There's no rest. We look at what's going on around us. We look at the struggles in our own heart and we say, there's no peace. People don't want peace for each other, want what's best for each other. There's only sin. In Luke chapter 2, the angels declare a message to a very unexpected group of people, starting in verse 8. I'm reading a story you all know so well. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for look, I bring you good news, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Much like we may feel that there is darkness in the world around us, there's darkness in our lives. The people at this time in history would have felt like there was darkness around them. Israel was in captivity after a long history of captivity. They hear whisperings of a Messiah who would come, and after waiting for so long, you know in their souls, there started to be questions like, is he really going to come? Where is he? Why so long of pain and captivity? You think outside of Israel and awaiting the Messiah, the Gentile world was controlled completely by the darkness of sin. Grotesque immorality, violence, pride characterized this culture. And after 400 years of silence from God, a young girl is met by an angel. And she's told something miraculous would happen, and she's told that she would bear the Son of God. And so she would work through these fears and these uncertainties in her own heart, and then she would come to the time where she would have to enter into this conflict with the man that she was engaged to, and he would constantly be wondering what happened and how it happened, until an angel came to him and said, do not be afraid. I encourage you to look at the repeated usage of do not be afraid from the message of the angels. He would say, do not be afraid. It is true that what has taken place in Mary is that the Holy Spirit has conceived the Son of God in her. And so the time would come that she should be delivered. And then another unexpected, seemingly unworthy group of people hear a message. Temple shepherds, shepherds who were not considered to have an honorable calling, shepherds who were considered to be dirty and on the outskirts of society, hear a message from what starts as one angel and becomes the heavenly host. And they bring a message of good news. Brothers and sisters, if you want good news in your life, do not turn on your television. Run to Jesus. It is the good news in this passage that's directly connected to the pronouncement that Jesus is here. Let's pray, and we'll begin to work through just a few simple observations from this passage. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your protection. I ask now that through this time in the Word, we would know Jesus better. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's first of all analyze this news. So let's look at the nature of this news, starting in verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people." So let's first of all see that this news is good news. I bring you good news. Now, we have to understand what takes place with this word good news that we find in the New Testament is so much bigger than just, oh, I want to hear something that makes me happy. I'm tired of seeing something bad, or I'm tired of hearing something bad, now I want to hear something good. What we see in the New Testament with this word for good news is that this is actually, in every way, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel, euangelion, literally means good news. I bring you the good news of the redeeming work of Jesus. And though the shepherds may not have understood theologically all that was associated with the angel saying, "I bring you good news," we read the New Testament and we get a more full picture of what this news is. It's the good news that confronts us with our sin in Romans 6 that says the wages of sin is death. You say, well, that's not good news. It's the good news that assures us that through Adam brought darkness, but through the perfection of the man to come, Jesus, he would bring light. For by one man's sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned, but by the obedience of one will many be made righteous. It's the good news that declares that we who are guilty before God will be declared innocent by God. Romans 3, we're justified freely by his grace. Justified. The guilty party declared innocent. It's the good news that we are forgiven because Jesus, Colossians 2, canceled the record of debt that stood against us. How? I love this. By nailing it to his cross. It's the good news that he died according to the scriptures and was raised according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15. It's the good news that he's gone away and left us the Spirit of God, but will come back again and take us with him, John 14 to 16. It's the good news that he will create a new heaven and a new earth where we will exist with him in perfection. A future life where days do not fade, where spring is forever, and where home is with God. Revelation 20. It's the good news that Jesus was born of men so that men could be born of God. This is good news, brothers and sisters. Every other news that we might just happen to find something in the newspaper or on television that just gives us this temporary sort of, oh, that's nice, or makes us feel good, does not deal with our soul. But this good news calls us to a relationship with Jesus that we find complete forgiveness, and we find complete change, and we find complete transformation, and which we will enjoy an eternal future, where everything that is wrong about this world will be made right. The hurts and the pains and the fear of this life will not even have a shadow in our reality to come. Second, this news is greatly joyous. It's good news. I bring you good news of great joy. I know I've said this many times from the pulpit, but I do it on purpose because I want you to see how many times in the scriptures that the gospel, that joy is directly connected to the gospel. They are inseparable. When you read the scriptures, it's very common that we find joy naturally just connected to this presentation of the gospel. It's good news of great joy. You say, well, I don't always feel joyful. I don't always feel happy. Well, first of all, let me clarify that for you. Happiness is not the same thing as joy. Happiness can be taken away from you. You say, yeah, I know, that happens a lot. Joy cannot be taken away from you. Because if the gospel has transformed your heart, this is good news of great joy. And so now great joy is just a part of you. C.S. Lewis says, joy is the serious business of heaven. No one can take your joy away. So I encourage you to think about this joy. And when you do this, all of the things that frustrate you will slowly begin to disappear. Constantly contemplate the joy of the gospel. Keep it before you. So let's just get really practical. If you have a morning routine, wake up, and as you do that morning routine, thank God that you're saved. I make coffee every morning. Various ways, various times, various roasts, whatever. I make coffee every morning. If you ask my wife, it's a very good thing that I do. So as I'm going to ground coffee beans, I can thank God that I'm saved. Because if I start the day posturing myself towards the cross, I have something to be joyful about. So as you prepare breakfast, as you get dressed, as you make tea, throw your kids off your bed because they woke you up. Whatever your morning routine is, make that the time you posture yourself towards the gospel and say, thank you, Jesus. You'll have joy. When you allow the gospel, not just at the time of your salvation, but you allow the gospel to transform you every single day, you will know this joy in a way that cannot be described. Hearts that are full, that are controlled by the joy of Christ, are hearts that truly understand the gospel of Christ. You say, well, I'm just not joyful. Then I implore you to know Jesus better, to love him more, to recognize every day how sinful you were apart from him and how he's transformed you and is changing you. And you will constantly have something in which to rejoice. Thirdly, it goes to all people. The message of Christmas is missional. See what I said? The message of Christmas is missional. But sometimes what we do with Christmas is we keep it within our own house. We set up our tree, we set up our lights, or we get in a competition with a neighbor to see whose lights are better, right? And we stick to our Christmas traditions that can't change or whatever, and we get so consumed with what's going on that we forget that this is a season to celebrate the coming of Christ so that we can return with Christ and there are people all around us who don't have a relationship with Jesus. who are searching for good news, who desire great joy. Tell someone about Jesus this season. This time, right now, and Easter are the easiest times to talk about Christ, because everyone knows. Everyone knows it's Christmas. Everyone knows it's Easter. And most people have a general idea of what they're for. It's easier. It's not always easy. It's easier. Talk to someone about Jesus this Christmas. Talk to your neighbors about Christ this Christmas. It goes to all people. Now, I want to point out one thing. I don't want to go too deeply into it. But this word, the language here has a more specific audience than just all people, because we know that there's not all people will have peace. Not all people have this great joy. Only those who believe do. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, you can believe and have it. If you don't have this because you don't have a relationship with Christ, you can believe in him. So a good way to interpret the language of this passage is glory to God on the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And he's pleased with those who are the believing. So you have great peace and great joy if you are the believing. And if you don't always feel that way, rest in what you know, not what you feel. So let's secondly look at the pronouncement of peace, and then we'll wrap up our time together. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, the king that would come from David. That's why Luke includes this detail. Who is Christ the Lord? This baby who entered into the world in the most humble of circumstances is the one in John 1 that we read, without him was not anything made that was made. God the Son made flesh. He is Lord. Jesus, the Son in John 1, John used the word Word. He describes as the Word, the one who's revealed to us, the one who explains to us God the Father. Active in creation, the one who spoke galaxies into existence, enters the world as a newborn child. But that child is king. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel. So now we've gone to one angel, to a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God on the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So not only is within the gospel do we have great joy connected to it, we find that there's worship connected to the gospel. It is on the basis of this Savior that we proclaim glory to God on the highest. Jesus gives us the privilege of worship, a privilege that no part of us could have ever deserved. I try to think of this scene and it makes me so excited. You know, something that has become popular in the last few years, especially with my generation, is that they make a really big deal out of baby pronouncements, right? And gender reveal parties and, you know. So they have these parties where they, you know, they have this big celebration if it's a boy or a girl, they make a big deal on Facebook, so they do something clever and creative on if they're having a baby, and we love that. That's awesome. I think that's great because we should celebrate life. If you really want to outdo someone with your baby pronouncement, you probably won't touch this baby pronouncement. The multitude of the heavenly hosts saying Jesus is coming? Praise God. This Jesus who offers you peace and joy, let us bring him praise. Brothers and sisters, we have all the news that we need for joy. We have everything that we need for peace. See, I didn't hear you finish the song earlier. It's because I didn't. Then pealed the bells more loud and sweet. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So in this time where it feels like darkness is going to win, just read the Bible. Just encourage yourself with this good news of the gospel. Take confidence in your heart in this peace that's provided through us, through Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, continue to guide. We need you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the pianist is going to play. Everyone, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please. If you have never entered into a relationship with Christ, I said multiple times today that you can have peace, that you can have great joy. That these good tidings, this good news, and this peace is offered to the believing. If you have never come to Jesus and placed your trust in him as your Savior and Lord, there is no better time. There's nothing you need more than the good news of the gospel. Paul says what we have to do is we have to confess with our mouth. That means to agree with God that we have a problem, and that problem is sin. And believe in our heart. That's to trust that Christ is our only hope. That he's died and was raised. That the resurrection of Christ is more powerful than the sin of man and completely undid death. If you've never rested in Christ as your Savior and you would like to talk to someone about that, how you can have this great joy and this true peace, no one's looking but me. If you would just slip your hand so that I can see you. We have people here who would love to talk to you about how you can enter into a relationship with Christ. If you would like to talk to someone about it, if you would just put your hand in the air. Father, may we worship you now in the singing of truth. May we be consumed with the realities of true peace and great joy. It's in Christ's name and for his sake we pray.